Hey everyone, welcome to Recovery Rocks. This episode is sponsored by the folks at Sour Humanoid Vinegar.
And Sour Humanoid!
When I say the folks, I mean my partner who just started this amazing vinegar brand. Sour Humanoid is designed for cooking, created by a New York City sommelier who got sober after working at Michelin-starred restaurants and curating award-winning wine lists. This vinegar is an excellent way to make any meal special with very little effort. Check out some of the easy recipes at sourhumanoid.com. And we've had Nick on an episode before. He's, you know, a fellow sober entrepreneur, and we're excited to have Sour Humanoid sponsor this episode.
It's an amazing story, and I will give a brief testimonial just because I don't cook, but I have sent Sour Humanoid gift packs as gifts over the holidays to a couple of my friends who are big cooks, and it got rave reviews. So user tested, customer tested. And all thumbs up.
What's up, you guys? It is Tawny. Welcome back to Recovery Rocks. I'm here with my fabulous bestie,
Lisa. What is
Lisa?
Up?
You what guys, this is up. This is a big deal.
I know.
Like, not only has Recovery Rocks been a podcast for over 5 years now. We started September of 18.
Correct.
Which is as long as I've been with Nick, right? Remember?
I remember, because I remember the whole thing going down when we were first recording.
Yes. I was like, I think I met my person. Like, yes. We were recording those first few episodes.
I absolutely remember that. Yeah.
So we just hit 5 years. The podcast just hit 5 years. Yeah. And this is episode 200.
200. That is crazy. That is crazy.
200. We've done so many. We've discussed so many topics. All under the recovery umbrella, of course. But like, and we interviewed Zach Braff this year.
I know. We've had amazing guests. We've been so fortunate that, you know, some are our friends that we've known through our recovery circles. Many of them are people who reach out to us that, you know, something resonates with what they're doing or what they're talking about. And it's just been such a gift. And I have to say, like, above all, you know, we want to thank and we so appreciate our listeners. You guys are the best. It is you've kept this thing happening, and we're just Seriously. Honored to be able to hold some space and to talk about the stuff that, you know, just the two of us were talking about on our own.
Well, I mean, I was just gonna say, like, without you guys, then it would just be a Zoom call with friends, which is great too.
Yeah, I know.
You know,
which started with us just talking on the couch.
Yeah, the big red couch.
The big red couch.
And you've since moved to San Diego. I've since written a book. There's like,
yep.
I got married.
All kinds of life
like
stuff.
Life, so much life stuff has happened. I have a home office now. Like, what the hell is that?
I know. And I don't. that's a shift.
And at the, you know, we're going to talk about the holidays, of course, but at the beginning of the year, Lisa and I will have a fun, exciting announcement. We do have something fun coming next year as well that
we're
excited. Yes. We can't wait to share with you guys. We're still figuring out all the details of it, but we are working on something kind of big. And but until then, we're just going to celebrate 200 episodes with you guys and talk about the holidays and just continue obsessing over each other.
That's right. I will never stop obsessing over you. It will never happen.
And the feeling is very mutual.
So tell me, holidays, where are you at? What's going on?
So, you know, for us, for the holidays, this is our first. So, okay, Nick and I we historically do a big holiday dinner party. This is something he has done on his own for years before we met. And, you know, I love event coordination. I love hosting.
So we've really joined forces and we do a holiday party every year. So this will be the first one that we do in our new space. We used to live in a one bedroom apartment, living that, you know, Manhattan life, two people and two pets in a one bedroom apartment. We made it work. We now have a three bedroom, which is insane. And we're going to have our friends over for the holidays. And Nick is a fantastic cook. He goes above and beyond. He makes a wonderful meal. And then we do a little white elephant gift exchange. And we all go around the room and share what we share something, you know, it's different every year, like maybe a lesson that you learned this year or advice that you would have given to yourself at the beginning of the year.
I love that.
You know, just it really is a time to reflect on the year and maybe, you know, be present with people that we really care about. And that's, you know, you and I, Lisa, we've talked a lot about the importance of creating your own traditions, your own rituals in recovery. And this has definitely been a big part of mine and Nick's is our annual holiday party, and our friends look forward to it. And we're staying here. You know, I'm not going home to Texas, and we're not going to Massachusetts where he's from. We're going to lay low with our chosen family this year. What about you?
First of all, I just have to say, like, I love that. This is what you're doing. And that I think about when this is our fifth holiday episode, right, that we've talked about. And, you know, I just remember at the beginning, 5 years ago, the holidays felt so much more fraught to you, right? Mm-hmm. It was a big difference. And all of the things that have evolved over the last 5 years and your relationship with Nick and your chosen family here in or there in New York and all around is just something that I find really, you know, it just really warms my cold black heart. You know, it really is, because, you know, and it's true, like the holidays are such a challenge for so many people, ourselves included. Like that is, you know, you're talking about the wonderful happy part, which is absolutely, you know, essential, but it doesn't mean we don't all struggle around the holidays.
Totally. And it's, you know, the fact that I'm, you know, we're recording this while I'm kind of in the middle of my book tour. So, you know, there's a lot of travel in the front end of the holidays for me, whether it's, you know, physically going somewhere for a book event, doing some book events here in New York. Plus we work holiday markets because we have Nick's Vinegar business. And our drink coming soon.
Yay, the drink. The drink is coming.
Parentheses. So, you know, we took into account all of that. Like our holidays are like, we're starting our own family. This is our own life, you know, like we've created this life for ourselves. So it's difficult for us to prioritize traveling somewhere else right now because we're already doing so much. So for us, it's important to stay home, recharge where we can, because the holidays and dry January are actually going to be pretty busy work seasons for us.
I hadn't even thought about dry January coming right on the heels for you, but that is so true. Yeah. Well, it brings up a great topic around the holidays, which is like, you know, looking at things from, you know, oh my God, I have to do all these things, but looking at them and going, hey, I'm tired, right? I've been traveling. I've been on this book tour, or I've been working really hard. Year end is crazy at my job, whatever it is. And being able to say, okay, like again, with our, you know, how we talk about the energy budget, like what do I have the juice for? What do I not? And really weighing, you know, the idea that we love that no is a complete sentence. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't have to go to every party. You don't have to go to every party for the whole length of the party. You can go late and leave early. You can, you know, I mean, I know for me, in the office when I was still working in New York, you know, the holiday party was a big deal. Our firm was we were a one office firm and people were tight, and, you know, you showed up at the holiday party, right? Even if it was just for a little bit. But there were years that for me, I it's too much going on. There's, you know, I'm feeling sensory overload on all the holiday shit being thrown in our faces, and I'm not going this year. And I, as you know, I adopted the plan that I would make an appearance every other year. And I get it that it was not, you know, people would be like, hey, you're not going to the party. I would just say, no, I can't make it this year, but I'm sure it's going to be great. I couldn't make it. My plate was full. I was dealing, you know, with what I needed to do to take care of my own mental health and physical health. And, you know, if it's yoga you're going to, or you need to hit the gym and that's it, no is a complete sentence. You do get to pick and choose what's going on. And there are a lot of people right now, we also have to talk about, you know, who feel very alone over the holidays. And it's a very tough thing. You know, last year for me, my mom died on December 7th. Of 2022. And so, you know, now we're looking at coming up on a year after, which is, you know, going to be hard. But also that December, the rest of the year, you know, I was back in California around the 15th, I think, or the 18th or something like that. And it was hard. It was like, I did nothing, but like, also I felt very alone because in the midst of all the celebrations going on, I was in deep, deep grief.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, and it's your first Hanukkah without your mom, you know, like there's, you know, we talk a lot about sober firsts, you know, you're sober, you lost your mom, and then your first holiday celebration without her was.
Yeah. Well, who do I light Hanukkah lights with?
We do that.
I don't even do it with my mom since I'm here.
I know.
And Tawny and I light the menorah together each year.
And I, you know, this is slightly, I don't even know if this is tangent, whatever. I'm just going to talk. So, you know, I feel there's this element of imposter syndrome about me being Jewish and Mexican. And because I'm a quarter Mexican and a quarter Ashkenazi Jewish. And I often feel like I'm not Jewish enough to celebrate Hanukkah, or I'm not Jewish enough to do this. I'm not Mexican enough to do this. It's shit that I'm unpacking in therapy, whatever. But the reason I bring this up is because doing that annual tradition with you helps. It helps me a lot. It helps my imposter syndrome. It connects me to the faith that was so important to my grandmother before she married a Mexican man, and her family sat Shiva for her. So she lost her faith. She literally lost her religion. Doing those, you know, obviously lighting a menorah is not a new tradition. But I never had that growing up because my mother wasn't raised in it. So I wasn't raised in it. So now I'm discovering what being Mexican and Jewish and you know, other things, but specifically what those mean to me. So these holidays like Dia de los Muertos and having an ofrenda and, you know, there are these rituals that are becoming more important to me that do help me feel more connected to those who have passed.
Yeah. Yeah. And that is, you know, it's such a good point about how observing just something that was their ritual, whether or not you feel connected to the Jewish faith, it's the tradition. It's the part of you. It's the, you know, it's that piece of it. And, you know, and those are the things that you, again, get to decide on how you are or are not going to do things. And I think that over time in recovery, hopefully everybody get a little more comfortable in saying that, in saying, this is what is for me, this is what is not for me. And that's okay. I'm sure, you know, going into Thanksgiving, people are going to be around a lot of politically difficult conversations and things like that. And you don't need to subject yourself to that. Mm-hmm. You know, this is part of what we always talk about around the holidays too, drawing boundaries. You know, you can say, yeah, I'm going to go to the Thanksgiving, you know, I'll go to the Thanksgiving meal, but I'm not engaging with, you know, Uncle so-and-so or whatever.
I was going to say uncle too. I don't know why.
Everybody says it's the crazy uncle, right? It's,
yeah.
Yeah. Whoever it is, you know, and it doesn't matter what your viewpoint is. If there's something that is triggering to you about getting into political conversations, I mean, don't do it, you know? And it is, there is so much that we feel, because it's, you know, they always say, like, you know, your parents know how to push your buttons because they installed them.
But yes.
So it's like, it's true. It's like, you know, that I feel at least that I was programmed in a certain way, that this is how you do it. This is how you do it. And it is okay to break that and say, this is how I've done it in the past. And I can honor that and respect that. But this is how I'm choosing to do it now.
Mm. Though hearing you say that about setting that boundary reminds me of something that I did this past week, actually, and it does connect with the topic. A friend of mine asked if I wanted to go to dinner, and I said yes, but there was a caveat to it. She's very her Instagram, like, she's very vocal about Israel right now. Mm-hmm. And she's incredibly in just in the conversation and very passionate. And I am as well. And I told her, I really want to have dinner with you and I cannot talk about Israel. And yeah. she was like, OK, that's fine. And yeah. So like that was this moment of growth for me where I was like, I want to hang out with you. I genuinely do. And I can't talk about anything heavy right now. I just want to connect with you. And we had a lovely dinner. So,
yes.
You know, and I share that because that's an example of, you know, these are heated times. You're going to have you're going to have uncomfortable conversations. Either personally you'll have them or you'll be around them. Because if you're going home or you're hanging wherever you're going, remember that you can say, yes, I would love to come to your party, but if it's about this, I can't. Or when the conversation turns a certain way, you can mentally check out. You can go to the bathroom.
Yeah.
Just because a conversation's happening,
you've got a phone call. Remove yourself.
You know, it's tough, but it's like, you know, in my book and in a lot of the work that you and I do, we talk about the importance of advocating for boundaries. But, you know, a lot of the questions that I get is like, but I don't, how do I even know what my boundaries are?
Right.
And so that was one for me where, you know, the war is bringing up a lot for me that I'm working through with my therapist. And I only want to talk about it in this specific container once a week.
Perfect. Right.
You know, so I know that about myself. So I was able to advocate for that in a friendship.
Yes. And that is so huge. That is so huge. And I do want to say one more point about people who are alone through the mm-hmm. holidays. I just want to, there are so many gatherings around the holidays of people in recovery. Even if you're not in 12-step, there's like 24-hour marathons of meetings and speakers around the clock on Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's. You don't, you know, virtual, just sit there, even if you're not, you know, a 12-step person. And the other thing, like I've always at least, you know, had this idea that because I've spent, you know, generally on the holidays, it's just me and Craig and, you know, we don't really do anything, whatever. It's just the two of us hanging out, generally me watching football and him doing something else. And I would always think like, you know, there's all these people out there having the best day and I don't have anything going. It's Christmas, just like another day for us. Yeah. And blah, 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 blah. Just know that you are not alone in that. For instance, I will be sitting on those three holidays, not, you know, being out in some loving celebration. And a lot of the celebrations that go on are not healthy. I keep thinking about the Christmas episode of The Bear, right?
God, how fucking good was that episode, though?
I know.
Heavy.
But a lot of people, it's traumatic. It can be really traumatic around the holidays. And
it really can. Man,
you don't have to go through it alone.
I totally forgot about the episode. Now I'm reliving it. It's so good.
Yeah, it was rough. It was rough.
But, you know, Lisa, a reframe of the, you know, being alone. I got my very first sober Christmas. I spent alone. I did not go home for the holidays. My roommate invited me to go back to Connecticut with her and her family. And I was like, I genuinely want to walk around New York City alone. Like, that sounds awesome. And it was probably one of my favorite holiday experiences. I wrote, I walked around, it was snowing, it was quiet, you know, it was just, it's also, it's New York City on Christmas Day, so it's just another day.
Right,
so,
right. It's, you know, it's literally just another day.
I could still go shopping. Like,
there's people in CVS. There's
you
people
can go
like
out
do,
to eat,
you know,
like,
right.
Really,
whatever. Yeah.
We are such a, you know, Christian nation where, like, growing up in Texas, everything's closed on Christmas Day.
Right.
Here, it's not like that. Because there's other religions and there's other observances. So
it's big tourist time.
It is a big tourist time. So I just wanted to reframe, like, if you are spending the holidays alone, maybe it's, you know, I looked at it as an empowering decision.
Yeah.
And if you can at all feel that way, making that shift, I think the next Christmas I went to yoga by myself, you know?
Yeah.
Like, just, it really can be just another day if you're not.
It's such a great point. It's such an important point. And it's a good day to just, like, be in bed, you know, binging whatever it was you wanted to catch up with.
Yeah. And it's, I'm not particularly religious. I am a spiritual person. So I've never really felt connected to any of the holidays.
Yeah.
Other than, like, I love presents and I like hanging out, you know, but
yeah.
The older I get, I'm very grateful to, I enjoy my own company now. And this life that I've built with fur babies and, you know, there's a lot of value in spending quality alone time with yourself.
I love that. And then I want to say one more thing before we do Music Minute, just going into, we need a tarot minute before Music Minute.
Ooh, I like that.
Quick tarot minute. So 2023 in the tarot has been a chariot year.
Yes.
And the chariot is about basically at least the way I studied tarot with Lindsay Mack, Soul Tarot, if anybody is ever interested in that, which I love. And a chariot year is where you've been evolving and now you're stepping out and leaving behind what you don't need to take you on the next part of that journey. And, you know, kind of likening it to baby teeth, right?
Yes.
Like, you lose your baby teeth, you acknowledge that they got you here and you thank them, but now it's time for something else. And that's a very tough energy. And in 2024, we're going to be moving into, you know, a whole new energy.
What is that card?
I think it is the Strength card, but let's see.
We did an episode on the Chariot year. I remember that was one of our first episodes this year. And while you're looking for that,
it's the eighth card. So it's strength.
Strength.
It's a strength year.
So the visual is, you know, a woman holding a lion and she's really just like her hair is flowing and she's just like really radiating her strength, her goddess energy. And if you're wondering why these cards are connected to the year, it's when you add the numbers up. It's
Then it's the number of the card.
Yeah, yeah. It's like two. So two plus two plus four is eight, which and the eight is the strength card. So just I know if I was listening, I'd be like, why is the strength card 24?
Yes, yes. And but the reason it's called strength, too, is because this kind of goddess or girl or woman has faced down the lion. Right. And is now in her own strength, is comfortable petting the lion. It's not going to hurt her. It's not going to bite her, you know, and that is, you know, you're really coming through a very difficult period, stronger for it and in a place of, you know, a new transformation journey. But, you know, it is, it portends because let's face it, 2024 is going to be an incredibly difficult year for those of us in the States. To go into it with the strength card and to say, we're here, we can do this, we can show up and, you know, pet the line and do what we need to do and draw on our own strength. I think that's, you know, it's a very different vibe than the Chariot where it's like, okay, what am I leaving behind? What am I shedding? You know, where it's almost like coming out of a crab shell. Well, this strength is like.
I was actually thinking about like snakeskin when you were talking about
that.
It's shedding a snakeskin. And, you know, that transition from Chariot to strength, we've shed the stuff that we don't need anymore. You know, we physically.
It got us there.
We have charioted past it into really leaning into our strength. And you don't have to wait until the new year to.
That's right.
That energy, you know, you really can lean
into
your strength today.
It's coming. We're close enough. It's coming. And okay, so that's enough tarot talk. Now, Tawny, music minute, holidays, 200th episode, anything?
I mean, I don't, I really, now I want to listen to the Hanson Christmas album, Snowed In.
Oh, I think that's a great idea.
You know, like I am a, you know, millennial, all of our like Backstreet Boys, NSYNC, Britney, Hanson, they all did Christmas albums. Like, yes, of course, Mariah Carey's the queen of Christmas. She shall always be the queen of Christmas.
And Bruce is the king.
But and Bruce. Oh, yeah, that is my Christmas song when it's like it is not Christmas until I hear Santa Claus is coming to town.
Yes.
And it has to be that live version where he laughs.
Oh, yeah. Like that's it. That's the only. Yeah. 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 That's it. I have to say, I'm going to use this to sort of circle into something else. So remember, or you were probably so little, I remember when there was like the super group did a Band-Aid that did the benefit for Africa. Do they know it's Christmas? Mm-hmm. And it's all these celebrities who have, you know, joined together to raise money for, you know, to help address starvation in Africa. And it is one of the artists in it is George Michael. And if you haven't yet watched the Wham documentary,
which
service it's on. Oh, you've got to watch it because I love, you know, when I was like in high school, like Wham was huge and we loved Wham. And I always thought, and it always seemed like when they broke up, it was like, yeah, Andrew Ridgely, what a jerk. He couldn't handle George Michael's fame and whatever. And you watch it and it's a documentary that's done with Andrew Ridgely and all family and stuff from George Michael and traces the whole, how they met as kids. And this was just fun. And you realize that what Andrew Ridgely, what happened when Wham broke up, and it's both in interviews with George Michael from when he was alive and with Andrew Ridgely even now, but they both say the same thing, which is that, you know, really Andrew was having a great time. He had a lot of fun being a rock star, but he saw that George, I mean, he was his best friend and George had all these things he wanted to do and all this potential and all, you know, these ideas. And he saw how talented George was. And he was like, hey man, go ahead, go do it. And had only been up until George Michael died, his biggest cheerleader and friend. Mm. And it just totally, it's such a cool story. And it just completely flipped the story on what I thought it was. And it's not just Andrew Ridgely doing self-aggrandizing because you see George Michael and George Michael's family saying the exact same thing. So,
okay, I will watch. Good pitch.
Okay. On that note, thank you guys for 5 years, 200 episodes, all the listening. We love you and appreciate you so much. Yeah.
One day at a time. You're not alone.
It's just another day.
It really is. It's just another day. Whatever holiday you're celebrating or not, it's just another day. And we will see you next time.
Bye. Thanks for listening. We hope you like what you heard. If so, please hit subscribe and consider rating and reviewing us so others can find us. Tawny, how can our listeners find you?
You can find me at Tawny M. Lara on all of the social medias. You can find my blog, sobrietyparty.com. Lisa, how can we find you and your amazing book?
My book is Girl Walks Out of a Bar, and it is available at bookstores everywhere and online. And you can find me at lisasmithadvisory.com. And I'm on social media at Girl Walks Out. Thanks for listening.